Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And the second reading is Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, and the compassionate in cheerfulness." Amen.
Our gospel reading is such an important account that we find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Where was Jesus and his disciples when Jesus asked these questions? Matthew says he's in the region or territory of Caesarea Philippi. Mark says he was in villages around that area, and so agrees with Matthew. But Luke says that Jesus was actually praying when Jesus said these words. Thus, in two Gospels, Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and you can imagine him chatting away as they stroll along, probably in no great hurry. But in Luke, he is praying. The Gospels were written sometime, quite a long time after the resurrection, and so we sometimes find discrepancies. If you look at the resurrection stories, there are lots of discrepancies. They don't always agree together. Does that worry you? It doesn't worry me. It worries me more that the disciples have put their heads together and made sure every word was exactly the same. If we think back some years in our own lives, can we remember things that clearly? If we discuss past events with family or friends, we all remember different aspects, don't we? And so it was for the disciples. Jesus was up north, traveling with his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, which was about 25 miles from the Sea of Galilee. It's interesting here that it was here that he decided to put his questions to his disciples. Here there are 14 temples, or were 14 temples to ancient gods. There was also the birthplace of the great god Pan. Furthermore, there was the great, lovely marble temple to the godhead of Caesar. It's as if Jesus deliberately put his questions here, set himself against these ancient religions, and demanded to be compared to them. Jesus knew that all that he had achieved so far would be wasted if the disciples didn't know who he was. So he realized he had some questions to ask the disciples, for on their answers would depend the future of the Christian faith. On the way to Caesarea Philippi, he must have been thinking, all my disciples are walking with me now. It gives me the opportunity to ask these questions that have been bothering me. I'm dying to know what they think. They've been with me 3 years now, heard my teaching and miracles. Do they know what others think about me, who I am? And they answer, of course, Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. And the disciples tell him that, especially Elijah, because he had been the greatest prophet, they thought he was accepted as the greatest prophet. Malachi had said that Elijah would return and herald the coming of the Messiah. Jesus was certainly a prophet, but he wasn't pointing to a kingdom in the future. He was actually causing it to appear before their very eyes. The kingdom was there with them now. And so if people saw Jesus as Messiah, they did indeed see him as great. But far more important, who do the disciples think Jesus is? Who do you say that I am? Actually, if we look briefly at the beginning of John's Gospel, it seems the disciples, or some of them, seemed to know early who Jesus was. Remember the few disciples who came to Jesus when they first met Jesus, and Andrew went to find his brother, Simon's Peter, and he used the word Messiah. We have found the Messiah. In other words, the Greek word for Christ, the Greek had the word Christ for Messiah. Messiah was the Hebrew word. Yes, they'd got it right. But in another way, they were completely wrong about who he really was and what he came to do. Yes, the Jews were expecting a Messiah, but it was a military one who would come and overthrow the Roman rulers. They were desperately wanting this to happen. Thus, for the Jews, Jesus must have been very disappointing. For Jesus was a man of non-retaliation. Those who thought he was Messiah must have changed their minds very quickly. Jesus seemed to be stirring up the people, and so the authorities thought that he was quite dangerous. And so Jesus questions the disciples, who do you say that I am? This question seems to have been imprinted on the minds of the disciples, for it's interesting, Matthew, Mark, and Luke have exactly the same words. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, as you know, the impetuous one, the outspoken one, speaks up on behalf of all the disciples. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. His answer has been seen as the pivot of the whole New Testament account, of the whole Gospel account. For if the disciples hadn't got it right, Jesus' whole ministry would probably end in failure. If they hadn't known that he was the Messiah, they would never have started preaching and teaching about Jesus. The good news may never have spread. Thus, thank goodness, Peter piped up on behalf of them all. You are the Messiah. You can almost hear Jesus giving a great sigh of relief. Everything would be safe in the hands of Peter in particular. And so Jesus calls him a rock, and that the church will be built on him. Peter is the visionary. So it's not strange he becomes the leader of the early church. Jesus knows the disciples realize he's the Messiah, so he can tell them a bit more about the kind of Messiah he will be. He can risk telling them that these dangerous things are going to happen. He will have to suffer many things, be killed, and on the third day rise again. As we can imagine, this is all so staggering to the disciples, and Peter remonstrated, "Jesus, this can never happen to you." But I'm going too far, but that's the lectionary reading for next week. Do we know who Jesus is for ourselves? We may have been brought up in church. We may have been brought up by Christian parents. We may come along because our friends come along. But can we answer, as Peter did, "You are the Messiah, the Christ"? Who do we think he is? Jesus, being God, has so many titles, hasn't he? Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, Bread of Life, Alpha and Omega, Advocate, meaning the High Priest, who intercedes for us, and Emmanuel, God with us. I suppose the last one, Emmanuel, which I call the Christmas one, is the Jesus we know from day to day. Do we know his presence with us from day to day, from hour to hour? Do we rely on Jesus? Do we rely on his power? The disciples came to know Jesus because of all he had done and said. The big question for each one of us is, do people know who we are from all we do and say? Do people know we are Christians from everything we do and say? I'm a hoarder of books. I don't give many away that I've read. And recently I've been sorting out some I came across, and I came across a biography by Dr. Sheila Cassidy. I don't know if you remember her, but she worked in a hospice. She lived in Plymouth, had a lovely flat overlooking the sea. She didn't just seek to heal people's bodies, but their minds as well. She'd been rather bored by the routine of life in England, so she decided to go to Chile. Her time was anything but boring there. She must have become quite worried, but there was a military coup going on at the time to overthrow the Marxist government. A close doctor friend of hers as well suddenly died. And when something like this happens, it can affect us in different ways. And Dr. Cassidy found it turned her to God once more. She found a powerful return to her faith. So much so that she felt a calling to become a nun. Then a priest asked her to treat a man who had a bullet wound in his leg. This got her into trouble, so he was actually a member of the underground group opposing the Chilean government. 10 days later, she was arrested by the military police. She was tortured with electric shocks to force her to reveal the whereabouts of the rebel she had treated. She resisted for as long as she could, but under severe torture, she gave in. She said about her torture and her detention. These are her words. "Incredibly, in the midst of fear and loneliness, I was filled with joy, for I knew without a vestige of doubt that God was with me, and that nothing they could do could change that. In some mysterious way, I've been permitted to share in the mystery of life and death, of incarnation and the cross. If we hadn't known that Dr. Sheila Cassidy was a Christian, I think we could guess it from all that. But it's apparent from our own lives, not just when we come to church, but on every day. Do we really know people from what they do and say? Dr. Jason Arde, Cambridge professor, has been in the news recently and sadly died. I wonder if we will ever know who he really was. As I mentioned recently, last weekend, we had 3 days in Ashbourne. We were invited up there by people we know who had their 80th birthday lunch. People who were at school with us. The Lady Cherry was a bridesmaid for me, and Mark played the organ at our wedding. So that was a long time ago, and it was a wonderful occasion. Reverend Mark Broadhurst, the one who played the organ, is a retired superintendent minister. 20 years he's been retired. And Cherry, you wouldn't guess by meeting her, she was a headmistress, a local preacher, did toddler groups, all sorts of things. It would be amazing for those who met her for the first time to know all that. But now, sadly, she's got Parkinson's really badly, can hardly feed herself. And what about us? Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? What about us? Do people know we are Christians by everything we do and say? Does the name Elizabeth Jane Ross mean anything to you? She's been in the news recently. Probably none of us had heard of her in June, July. People said she was the kindest soul. She had a beautiful heart. She helped homeless in her own city. She had worked for a charity helping Syrian refugees in Kurdistan. 7 years ago, she'd gone to Greece and worked with abused women and migrants. One man said, Lisa, she was called Lisa by some, he said, was always giving her life for others. Every time I saw her, she was saying she was going to a food bank or going to help someone. I was worried about her safety, he said. She didn't care about being in dangerous situations. If someone was feeling the love of God, she would just go. She wanted to go where there was fire, where most people would look the other way. She would go right into where there was trouble. One can guess that Elizabeth Jane Ross, from what we've heard about her, was a Christian. And it was confirmed she was. One can tell from the kind of person she was. If you haven't guessed, she was the person known as Lisa, who was in the news a lot recently because her body was found in a suitcase. Such a sad story. She, in fact, sacrificed her life for others. You knew who she was from what she did and said. And so, how do we answer the question, who do you say I am? Do we know Jesus in our lives daily? And then the other question, who do people think we are from what we do and say? Amen.